News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome to the Minnesota Beercast, live from the Minnesota State Fair, brought to us by the Frontier Bar. Thank you to for them for sponsoring our show tonight. Also, make sure you stop by the booth and register to win a 2017 Honda Civic LX sedan from your Greater Twin Cities Honda dealers. Standard message and data rates apply. All you got to do is stop by the booth and use the hashtag Twin Cities News Talk at the fair. This is the Minnesota Beercast. We are live every Friday night. We're kind of live.
Kind of.
We're some live sometimes.
We're recorded live for sure.
We record it while we're live. For sure. But we are live from the Minnesota State Fair tonight and having a fantastic time. I am Drew. That's my co-host, Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
And we got a fantastic lineup of guests here in the booth. I'm very this this Schmitty is for you, by the way.
the free bird.
Yeah, I learned something about Schmitty tonight. I learned something new about my co-host tonight.
What did you learn?
He's that guy. He's the guy that anytime somebody says, you know, is playing music and says, you know, you guys got any requests? He's the guy that yells free bird.
Play some Leonard Skinner, please.
He's that guy.
Get that on your hands and knees.
He does the horns. And everything.
Sorry.
Right. Yep, he's that guy.
We were at Giggles Campfire Grill. We were at Giggles Campfire Grill, and there was a guy doing some hot licks on the guitar, and he asked for a request.
Yeah, hot licks.
So
they were so hot. All the licks.
Yeah, I threw up the horns, and I asked for Freebird. Yep. I don't think that's crazy.
And guess what?
Very appropriate.
He complied.
See?
Yeah.
And the crowd went wild.
You got a standing ovation.
I'll have you know, there were people standing. There were people ovating.
No one
got the standing O.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's get to it. We have a fantastic loaded show here today on the Minnesota Beercast. Let's run through the guests we're going to have. We're going to have Tim from Giggles Campfire Grill swung by. He's going to run us through some of the beers they're featuring. And we've got some ladies joining us here. We've got Emily from the Happy Gnome. We've got Jess from the Pioneer Press, and we've got Sarah from Penn Panel. How are you ladies doing?
Fantastic.
Make sure you stay up on that mic.
Get right up on that mic.
Do we need to be?
We are crowded in here. It's a community mic. We only got three, so
we're all
so
friends here.
Stay up on it. Let's talk to Tim first, so that
this
we can
the
get
most
him
snuggly beer cast
Jess
ever.
Jess is sitting on a mini fridge right now. I want you to know.
A mini fridge full of beer. Let's talk to Tim first, so that we can get him back to work. He's got plenty of beer to serve back at
Giggles. I don't mind the break.
Thanks for the beer.
It feels good to sit down.
So you guys are doing a great job with the beer and the food. Let's start with the food that you guys are slinging over at Giggles, Tim. What are you guys featuring new this year?
Our new item. We only have one new item this year, and it's called the Bacon Duck Wontons.
And it is fabulous.
They really are. We can't. We had to go to Indiana 2 days ago to pick up more. I think right now we own every duck wonton in the United States is in Giggles' freezer right now.
They are so good.
We can't cook them fast enough. The lines are wrapped around the building, and everybody wants them, and we haven't had one complaint. It's quite a product.
Before today, I didn't even know that there was bacon on a duck.
I was the same way. I was like, wait, what are you talking about here? So then I had to figure out, oh, it's kind of like turkey bacon or chicken bacon, that sort of thing. So it doesn't taste anything like duck. It tastes like bacon.
So how does it work? What's the process in making these wontons?
Well, you know, Giggles is a really creative guy, and he actually...
There's an actual guy named Giggles?
Yeah, his name is...
Oh, yeah, you heard about Giggles?
His name is Tim Weiss. His nickname has been Giggles ever since we were kids, and that's what we told him. He didn't want to do it, but we told him, you got to name your place Giggles, man. It's the best. It's the coolest name out there.
I thought there was just like a name you guys made up.
No,
like there's an actual guy named Giggles.
Like Charlie Brown or something?
Yeah, he's a clown.
No, So he was on a plane one time, and in the back there was an advertisement for this company that made these wontons. So he went there and tried them out, and he thought they were a little bland.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a few suggestions with adding the roasted corn and some seasonings and cream cheese and all that goes with it. And they came up with their own specific recipe for us, and we're the only ones that have them. And like I said, when he comes up with these ideas, I learned years ago not to question him, because he's right every time. And we put them out, and we made we didn't decide on the glaze that we serve them with, a dipping sauce, which is kind of an apricot jam glaze, and we didn't have that determined until about 6 hours before we opened on last Thursday. But it's worked out well, and everybody seems to like them. And,
did you run through some other dips and,
we
and
did.
Sample
we did.
A bunch?
And, yeah,
and you didn't invite me for that process?
No, I apologize for that.
Why?
I don't know what I was thinking.
All right. Next year.
Well, you've got several options of beers.
I would volunteer to be on that panel.
All right. Okay. All right. You've got several willing volunteers here, Tim. You've got several beers that you could pair with the bacon duck wonton.
Okay.
Walk us through what these beers are.
Okay, well, these are what we call our specialty beers. And the first one with the marshmallow in it, we came up with that 4 years ago. And so my job at Giggles is I run the beer pavilion in the back. And we have 36 craft beers. And he came up with this idea and convinced the fair to try it. It's called our s'mores beer. And when he told me what we were going to do, he said, yeah, we're going to rim the glass with chocolate and graham cracker. And then the beer itself is a porter. The beer is a porter, and it's got chocolate and coffee flavors in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we serve it with a marshmallow. And when he told me we were going to do that, I thought he was crazy. And we couldn't, same thing. We kept tapping kegs about every half hour. Selling it, and people just loved it. And on the last day of the fair that year, they were lined up around the building to get their last crack at a s'mores beer, and it's been a huge seller, so we've kept it ever since. And the next year he came up with the maple bacon brown beer, and that's the one, that's the brown. It's a maple infusion in the beer itself, and served with a piece of maple glazed bacon.
And that's Excelsior's beer, right?
That's Excelsior has that beer. That's
and the
correct.
The first one is Flat Earth.
Flat Earth has the porter. Yes.
Both of those seems like they go very well with a campfire grill, if you will.
Well, that's kind of what that's our theme, you know. And it's kind of we try to do like a Minnesota theme with all of our food items and our beer items. The next year, everybody wanted a cider, and for those who are gluten free, our ciders are gluten free. So we came up with the candy apple, which is an apple-flavored cider, obviously with a slice of Granny Smith apple in it.
And that's done by Sociable.
That's Sociable.
Yeah, our good friend Sociable Cider Works. Yeah. They're awesome.
And then Sociable.
Who doesn't love Jim Watkins?
This year, Sociable did a raspberry cider, and we served that with a couple fresh raspberries in it. And they've both been really big sellers. But the one that's just off the charts this year for us, it's the first time we've ever tried it, is our dill pickle beer.
That is, we tried that right before the show. We were over there doing some show prep.
Absolutely.
And do the finger quotes with show prep. And Schmitty and I both had the dill pickle beer. I'd say that is a home run.
It's been, we pour a keg of that about every 20 minutes.
And that's Barley Johns did that, correct?
Barley Johns out of New Richmond, Wisconsin, yes. And they make that beer just for us.
That's pretty amazing. What was the I guess, creative juices behind the dill pickle beer?
That's just Giggles' mind is going all the time. And when he sees something and he goes, I'm going to try that. Yeah, he's cut out for this business, and he knows what he's doing. And again, when he told me this year about the dill pickle beer, I decided I wasn't going to say anything because I've been wrong every year up until now. So I figured he knows it. And we serve the dill pickle has dill and a little bit of horseradish infused into the beer itself. And then we serve it with a skewer of a miniature dill pickle and a little hunk of Havarti cheese.
Dill Havarti cheese.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Minnesotans love their Bloody Marys, and that would be an amazing Bloody Mary chaser.
I would think so. I would think so. And you're right about the cheese, and the people that want it are it's just they come up to the bar and they just say, is this where we get the dill pickle beer? You know, and yeah, we got it. You know, and we, like I said, we can't pour it fast enough. We've got a room right now up at Giggles that all the kid, there's four kids in there, and all they do is make these garnishes.
Oh, wow. that's
their job.
I saw a lady in there.
Spear cheese.
That's it.
For a half hour straight doing nothing but cubing up the Havarti.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got some industry experts here, some ladies in the industry. What is your take on the dill beer, the dill pickle beer?
I like that beer. I mean, it's refreshing, clean, and like I said, I didn't grow up here in Minnesota, but apparently people in Minnesota like your snit with your Bloody
Where are
Mary.
You from?
South Florida. Don't judge me.
Nobody's but from I mean, South Florida.
I think this is, I don't know.
That was kind of my impression was I was not sure. Yeah. I ordered a tall one, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice.
Yeah. That was risky. I would have probably not done that. But after trying it, being a huge dill pickle fan, Bloody Mary fan, I'm actually really surprised that I like it. Like, I don't like dill pickle chips. I don't like dill.
Who doesn't like dill pickle chips?
Well, you know, some people.
I love dill pickles, but I don't like dill flavored things. And that one, I actually, I dug. I was kind of surprised that I would really, really, really dig it. And I would probably drink 20 out.
Jess, you're the big time foodie. What's your take on the dill?
I love it, and I'm going to go back for another one after the show.
We've got live music till the fireworks shoot off, so the bar will be open, and we'll be waiting for you with open arms. But I got to tell you, the brewery had a hard time keeping up with us, you know, because they make it just for us, and they ran out of dill. Ooh. And the only provider that had it was going to charge them an arm and a leg for it. Well, it turns out the wine we carry from Cannon River, Cannon Falls, Minnesota, we carry two. They're white and they're red. They had access to some dill, and the guy said, "I'll get it for you." And he got us. He went to the farmer's market.
That's awesome.
Got it for like $10. You know.
There you go.
We had to run it over to the brewery, and they caught up, and they've been going 24/7 for us just
Fantastic.
To keep us stocked.
Well, thank you so much for swinging by, and thank you for the beers, for
thank
the samples.
You so much.
Really appreciate it. Great chatting with you. That the dill pickle beer, if you haven't tried it yet, get over to Giggles. It's straight down the road, just a block away from the TCNT booth. We're on the corner of Lee and Underwood. Go there and try it. It's definitely a highlight of the State Fair this year, for sure.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, you guys, and thank you for having me.
All right, take care. We'll have you on again next year.
All right.
Thanks, Tim. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM Twin Cities News Talk.
If I stay with you, girl.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Beercast, the premier beer, spirits, wine, cheese, cigars, coffee, whatever we feel like talking about show.
Pretty much.
In the state of Minnesota. I am Drew. That is my co-host, Schmitty. We are out at the Minnesota State Fair from the KTLK booth on Lee and Underwood. Just having a fantastic time. These are two of my favorite shows of the year when we get to come out here and do the show live.
It is. It's always fun. Although I do have to make sure that we don't drop any adult language.
I got that covered.
All right.
I got that covered.
Got that delay
on. I got
on.
The delay on.
Things might get rowdy.
Stan, make sure I got the delay on.
Speak for yourself. We are grateful.
It's not, especially but I'll put a macro in.
Especially for this upcoming segment. We are going to talk girl party with the hosts of the girl party coming up here. Tell us about girl party. For those that didn't catch the last segment, we are speaking with Emily and Jess and Sarah. Jess, you're not a host of the girl party, but you can join in. You're a girl.
You're more than welcome to come. Please do.
It's a celebration of, well, I'll let you introduce girl party.
Well, this is our second annual girl party, and we're hosting at the Happy Gnome. This is an idea that a couple ladies, including Sarah Meyer and a couple other ladies, had, where we just wanted to celebrate women in the beer industry, women that brew beer, women that drink beer, women that sell beer.
It was really an excuse for all of us just to get together.
See, Jesse totally fit in.
I totally fit in.
You brew
at
home.
For sure, for sure. And eat, and like when we hang out. Like, but so we decided we wanted to get together and like do something that wasn't, you know, positive and important. And so we found the Family Tree Clinic in St. Paul. It's been doing great work with comprehensive sexual education and services for over 45 years. And we decided to raise some money for them. And last year we kicked it out of the park and raised over $1,700 for them.
Fantastic.
And this year we hope to top that number.
I'm pretty sure we will.
And
what's the reaction been? This is the second annual, right?
Hi, hello. This is the second annual, and like Emily said, it was just a bunch of ladies and I sitting around having lunch on a Friday, pretending to work, and wanted to get together and celebrate women in the industry at an account that was women ran, and Emily and I have known each other for a long time, and
many
Many years. In many different scenarios and many different personal matters. And we've known each other for a long time. And yeah, so the, you know, last year it was something that we just wanted to put together, and we raised $1,700. We had, you know, we were kind of the for something that we didn't think that was going to be as big as it was, it ended up turning out quite huge. We had about 100 people come through the night. And this year we're super excited to blow it out of the park. I mean, we've got 20 breweries together. Each brewery is bringing a specialty beer, a silent auction item. All the proceeds go to the Family Tree Clinic, which is an amazing clinic. Big proponents of LGBT rights, trans rights, women's reproductive rights. They've been around for a really long time, and they've been huge supporters of Ben Paddle specifically as well. Two of our owners actually met through a fundraiser through the Family Tree. So I get a lot of support supporting this. So it's quite amazing.
So I'm a... Am I allowed to come and take part in? Well, I try. I mean, I try to be a
gentleman.
I try my best. Am I allowed to come take part in Girl Party?
You absolutely are, and encouraged to. It's supposed to be, and we want it to be an all-inclusive event where we're celebrating people in the industry, where we're just, you know, doing amazing things for amazing people and drinking beer and having fun. So we would love if you came and supported us and supported what we do and supported what you do, and like this. This is just us being us.
Is this something that people need to sign up for ahead of time, buy a ticket for?
No, absolutely.
Or is it just to show up and enjoy the party?
It's September 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. loosely. Last year I was there from probably 3 o'clock until close.
I was.
But no, show up. It's going to be upstairs. There's no ticket price. It's $1 per pint is going to be donated to the Family Tree from the Happy Gnome. All of the silent auction items, 100% are going to be donated. We will also have a representative from the Family Tree be there as well to collect your donations. So there's no money changing hands. It's going to be 100% from you to the charity.
There's no intermediaries.
Happy Gnome isn't taking anything. Any of the breweries aren't taking a cut. It is literally everything's going there.
You mentioned that you got what, 20 breweries, and they're all bringing some specialties.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in particular that you're particularly excited about?
It's a secret. Well, a secret? Actually, I don't know, because everything has to go through Emily. So Emily actually knows.
Emily, can you give us some teasers, a little preview?
Well, one really cool thing, we're going to have the first in the state of Minnesota, the Ballast Point Coedo collaboration, East to West Keg, as well as Milk and Honey Rosé, which isn't specialty, but I really love it. there's a few other ones. We're going to have Surly Yo-Yo Dine.
I don't even know what that is.
It's...
You're just going to have to come and find out.
See?
That's how that's going to work.
Put me down for a plus one.
Hefeweizen.
Okay.
It's amazing. So
it's really good.
Fantastic.
But we're just really excited to have a really awesome event for everybody. Like, I feel like sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, and we just need to take a step back and realize that we're all doing rad things and for rad people, and that's like.
Well, that was
going to
be kind
of
one of my questions, because, you know, we've done a few shows where we focused on women in the industry. And do you feel that we are beyond the point where we need to do shows focused on women in the industry anymore? Or is it past that point?
I
tough questions. Real talk.
Here's the thing is, like, I do wonder why we're still having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't a girl that grew up and, like, decided that she was going to go into the beer industry to be this, like, groundbreaking individual to break glass ceilings. Like, I'm just doing what I love to do. And I don't know why we have to have a conversation because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. And so... Part of me, like, yes, of course I want to celebrate that. Like, we have, like, there are amazing women in our industry, and we do awesome things all the time, but it does kind of confuse me why we have to continually have this conversation, because I am doing it because I'm a lady, like, just, you know.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, it gets a bit, I mean, it gets a bit tough, and you'll be able to talk about that too, Jessica. It's like, you know, I don't sell beer with my genitals. I go to work and I do my job because I know what I'm talking about. And it gets a bit difficult sometimes, as we have figured out that, in the past week specifically has been quite ridiculous, but, I mean, it's kind of a catch 22 at this point, because we do women in beer panels, we do girl party, we do these things to celebrate women in this industry, and does those things divide us, to bring recognition? Or, you know, I think we're at a level playing field now, and I think that I would really like to be invited to a panel that is just talking about beer.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that I think you're right. I don't think that your celebration is dividing anything. I think it's really exactly the way you pitched it. I think it's a celebration of progress, if nothing else, right?
I just have but, you know, and you know, we get this question all the time, like, how do women get more involved in this industry? And it's literally apply. There's jobs and jobs and jobs out there, and there's just, the women aren't applying for it. And if you can do your job and you know what you're talking about, your gender doesn't matter. So, you know, there are jobs out there. Apply.
Well, and here's a key point for any woman that might be listening. We've been accused of being a bit of a bro-cast in the past, so I don't know how many actual women listeners we have, but if you are listening, this is a great...
I've done this podcast several times.
This bro, is a, yeah, me too.
This is a great...
That's because you guys can bro.
This is an excellent opportunity for any women that are interested. This is going to be an event full of women with experience and knowledge, and it's an opportunity for you to talk to these ladies and
network.
And no, I tell you, I have not applied for a job in 20 years, and it's because of people you know, and it's because you build those relationships, and this is an excellent opportunity for people to get in and network.
That is... go ahead.
I'm sorry. And that's what it is. I mean, it's all who you know, and going to events and festivals and being a kind person and being nice. And it's being in this industry is a lot of work, but it literally is who you know and what you know. And going to an event like Girl Party and introducing yourself to these people that work for these different breweries and saying, how do I get into it? We all know some sort of aspect of whether it's a tasting program that we have or a taproom position that we have. That is a very important step into getting into these things, and then you take your knowledge and your opportunity and you grow from there, from whatever opportunity you can take. That's your responsibility after that. But you know, don't let being a woman in this industry be scary, and
being a woman be scary.
It's not scary.
We're all really tough broads. We're really tough ladies in this industry.
I'm scared of being a woman.
And I get that we can be fairly intimidating. I understand that, but that's because we are forced to be intimidating because of the male dominated industry that we have. Are in. We have to be a little bit intimidating, but we're not mean. We're not scary. Just talk to us. We are so happy to have more women in this industry. Just apply, talk. We are really nice, I swear.
No, they're amazing. Amazing. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got Jessica from the Pioneer Press coming up.
Absolutely. And you know, we'll see what comes up after that.
All right.
We might do a little news. We'll see where the show takes us.
We are live from the Minnesota State Fair at the Twin Cities News Talk booth on the corner of Lee and Underwood. Feel free to bring us some beer.
Yeah! Absolutely. My beer!
Because I'm as free as a bird now. And this bird,
you wanted free bird. You're getting free bird.
Woo!
This is the Minnesota Beercast, live from the Minnesota State Fair. And thank you to the Frontier Bar for sponsoring our shows from the fair. Go there. They've got some amazing beers over there as well. Some specialty beers.
They do. They've got an exclusive beer from Fulton Brewing, an IPA.
Yeah. So
if you haven't had it, you should definitely swing by.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do that. I am Drew. That is my co-host Schmitty, and we are at the Twin Cities News Talk booth. Lee and Underwood got a fantastic, gorgeous crowd out in front of us.
Oh man, what a beautiful night.
A gorgeous panel, too, if I could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Jeff, I was not talking about you.
Yeah,
Ellie!
If you're here enjoying the show and you've got a question or comment, go ahead and feel free to step up to the mic.
We do have an outside mic.
Totally up for crowd interaction. We are letting it all hang out here at the fair, so go ahead and step up to the mic if you have things you want to say. For this next segment, I think we're going to focus on, Jess, you've had some fun stuff going on over at the newspaper and some fun stuff coming up. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, so I decided to recap, you know, it's been a little bit since I wrote a comprehensive thing about all the breweries in the East Metro, and I decided to do that this week. Started it a little too late, worked on it a little too long, but we have... In St. Paul proper right now, we have 12 breweries, which I don't know if people realize that.
That's a lot compared to, what, just 3 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, we were, like, when I first started writing about craft beer, I used to have to go to Minneapolis all the time. And now I'm like, you know, creature of habit. I'm a little lazy. The I-94 sucks. I don't really have to.
Right.
I get to stay in St. Paul if I, you know, I'm here writing about beer. And I go to Minneapolis, please. I do. But I don't have to.
Well, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's definitely Summit, right? So there's Summit. There's Urban Growler. There is
Bang.
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 Bang. Bang.
Bad Weather. Bad Weather. We've got
Barrel Theory.
12. Yeah, 12
Eyes. 12 Eyes just opened. Yep. They were our 12th.
We've got, who else do we have?
Flat Earth.
Flat Earth, of course.
Oh, did you? Sorry. Lake Monster.
Yep.
Urban Growler. Wabasha. No, we didn't name
that.
Yeah.
It's
12.
That's
And that doesn't even count the burbs, man. I mean, there's a lot in the burbs.
Wow.
The East burbs?
Yeah. We got Angry Inch, Bald Man, Bent Brew Distillery. You know, if you're counting brew pubs, there's Barley John's and Nutmeg. There's also Big Wood, Hammerheart, Liftbridge. I mean,
sure. Stillwater's a bit. Stillwater's a bit of a hike.
Heck yeah. But that's an East Metro suburb.
Absolutely.
We count it as one at the Pioneer Press.
For sure.
And then I also wanted to point out that we have 5 more breweries on the horizon in St. Paul, and I think that might be more than Minneapolis. I'm just saying. I have a little rivalry.
Can you give us a tease? What can we look for that's coming?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Clutch Brewing, which is going into the Keg and Case development.
Right.
That doesn't open until spring, but I'm super excited about that whole project. It's just insane.
I did my BJCP with one of the owners there. So.
Yeah, you know, we actually had the guys from Clutch on talking about MinVest a little bit. If you're interested in those guys and what MinVest does, go ahead and check out the show archives.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that whole development. I think it's going to be great to have a brewery in there at the Schmidt Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have Waldman Brewing, which is opening so close to us, Schmitty.
Right.
It's on Smith, and it's in the oldest commercial building in the Twin Cities. It was built in 1857, and he's bringing it back. It was a saloon. He's going to serve German lagers.
And sausage, from what
I
hear.
And sausage, yes.
Yeah,
that's... And he's excited about the sausage.
I get excited for sausage. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
And then we also have Culhane, which I haven't really heard anything about that lately.
Which is like the second incarnation of She Brewing, correct?
Right, which was spelled S-I-D-H-E. It's a Gaelic
And this
spelling
is in the old
She.
Station 4. It used to be a big like metal concert venue. I've seen several shows there.
It looks like it's still boarded up. I don't really know what the progress is on that, and I didn't hear back from her.
Crowdfunding, but I haven't heard if that really took hold. I'm not sure if they met their goals. So
I don't think she has yet. So I don't know where that's at, but it's still on the list. Then there's Stacked Deck, which used to be Looney Bin.
Okay.
Which is going into the Treasure Island Center, which is the former Macy's with the wild practice facility.
Yep.
Yep.
That's cool. That's a great location.
Yeah. It should be. And it's a huge tap room. They have 180 seats. They're expected in February or March.
I can give a little bit of insight on that. I have had some test batches from those guys, at least on the homebrew scale.
Oh, yeah?
And there's some interesting things happening there.
That's great.
So look forward to that.
Okay, so Waldman, I forgot to say, is opening October 1st. And as is another historic brewery thing... I don't know what to call it. It's Jorg. So they're making the first, like, one of the first beers brewed in Minnesota again. And they brew it in Wisconsin, which gives them this loophole. So they'll be able to serve wine and stuff at their brewery because it's more like a brew pub because they're not brewing it on premises.
I'm confused.
I know.
You mean confusing. I could go into the same into
but
one establishment and order a beer or a wine?
Have you had the Jorg?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's going to be pure chaos.
It's a steam beer. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's pretty good. And I don't know.
So explain to me how this works. Because they're having it brewed someplace else. So are they essentially opening a bar? Because if it's being brewed someplace else and they're going to serve wine, it's not a brew pub because they're not brewing it there. It's not a brewery because they're not brewing it there. Are they opening a pub?
Well, I guess you could say that's what it is, right?
I guess after the show, I'm going to go check out the state website and see just how it's licensed because I am thoroughly confused.
Well, and I will say that, you know, when I was talking to them, the way they talked about it was that Minnesota didn't quite know how to license them. So I don't know what their official license is, I have to say.
Because why would you need a license for a brewery that you're not brewing here, right?
Right.
So it sounds like they just need an on-sale license. So it sounds like they do know how to license it, but they just don't know how to market it.
Hmm. Right.
Which would be my take on it anyway.
Sure.
Maybe we'll have to see if Jorg can come on and clarify for us.
we do have some
questions out in the audience.
Yeah,
why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and give your question to the panel.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I wanted to direct a question at Sarah and some of the other girls that are in there. You had said that you wish that you could be invited to a panel just because you're into beer and not because you're a girl. But then it was followed up with more than one of you suggesting the fact that, you know, you have to be really tough broads to be in this industry. So to me, that says that we aren't past the point of needing panels because you're women, because you're not being invited, because you're beer people. You're invited because you're women in the beer industry. So I'm just wondering, was that a mistake on clarification of what you were meaning, that we aren't really past it, but you wish we were, or do you really think that we are?
That's a great question. What's your take on that, Sarah?
You know, it's tricky, right? Because I think that many of my peers would say that we're past this, that I could be on any panel talking about beer and it doesn't matter about my gender. It's like I said, it's a catch-22 at this point because I could have told you 2 days ago that we were past it, and then I was kind of proven wrong. So
well, and maybe we should clarify because you've been alluding to having a tough week
let's go into a little bit more of that story. We are up against a break and we'll share some of what you went through this week that has you have that look on your face right now.
Great radio, Drew.
This is the Minnesota Beercast live from the Minnesota State Fair. Final segment coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Minnesota Beer Cast, final segment for this show live from the Minnesota State Fair. We do have a mic set up out front if anybody wants to, anybody hanging out wants to take part in the program, has a question, has a comment. We got a lot of great listeners hanging out. We will be back in studio normal programs next week, and I do want to remind you, if you'd like to have the Minnesota Beer Cast come out to your bar, your place of business, your tap room, we've got a Facebook page. You can shoot us a message through there. We've got a website, minnesotabeercast.com. It's got all the contact information. Or you can contact us via Twitter, @MN_beercast.
So we left off the last segment, and I thought of one brewery that we missed in St. Paul, Blackstack. Actually, I'll credit that to friend of the show, Jeff Merriman, sent me a text.
Of course, Jeff did.
He's out in the
peanut gallery,
I think. He was too chicken to step up to the mic and share that.
I can hear him laughing right
we'll,
now.
We'll give him a hard time. But we left off the last segment kind of teasing. Sarah, you had a hard week, and we're talking about women in the beer industry, and you're going to share why you had such a hard week, and we're going to talk through it. So enlighten us.
So we had a great question of a really great question of, you know, it can be confusing. So we like to consider ourselves equal, and I think a lot of our peers consider ourselves equal as well. But, you know, I just did a panel on Wednesday for a women in beer panel with some of my very close peers, very prominent women in the industry from all different aspects. And it was posted on Facebook. And the comments were less than
Positive.
Less than positive. we get a lot of that too. The trolls and all of that stuff, and we try not to let it get to us too much, but it kind of proves our point of why we still need to have these panels, and I think that we could just move on and not have these panels anymore and not have these kind of things, but it's I get where it's confusing. Mm-hmm. You know, we do Girl Party and we celebrate women in this industry because I think it's very important. I think that people forget that there is almost at least one woman that works for every brewery in any aspect, sales, brewing, quality control, ownership, we work really hard in the industry, and I think people forget about that.
So Emily, does that prove the point when you guys have a women in beer panel and then you get troll comments on the women in beer panel? Does that exactly prove the point as to why it's needed, or is that just always going to be there no matter how much progress is made?
There's always going to be trolls.
But, like, I'm not the one you have to prove that. I'm not the one that you have to prove that progress has been made. In my vision, I got my job, I do what I do, and just because I am good at what I do. Like, you don't have to prove to me that progress has to be made. Like, I don't care about the troll on the internet. Like, he can think what he thinks. I honestly don't care. I am going to continue to celebrate how awesome I am, how awesome my friends are, how awesome you are, and how rad we are at doing our jobs. That is it. That is all I'm about. And I, like, no, it doesn't prove my point. Like, you know what I mean? Like what progress? I don't, maybe it's.
I just think it's silly. Like, I got my job because I'm good at my job, not because of my gender. You got your job, Emily, because you know how to do your job. You, Jessica, got your job because you know how to do your job. But this has nothing to do with the way that we look or how we talk or our gender. I mean, I think it's silly, but
a measure of whether or not progress has been made is in your experience and your interactions with folks in the beer industry when there are women who are trying to get those jobs. Are trying to get those promotions, or trying to advance at those jobs. Do you feel like women have something more to prove?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Than men.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's without a doubt all the time. Like, I have to work twice as hard.
Progress can continue.
I have to make sure that I am never sexualized. I have to make sure that's a hard line in the sand. Like, I don't sell any sort of sexuality with what I do. I sell beer.
Well, the amount of times that I've been called little lady, sweetheart, naughty, like in my day-to-day life, like no grown person in reality in a professional environment should have to encounter that. But because we are in this casual social industry that we are in, that somehow is acceptable. And I take the roll off the back, like, I don't want to call it the high road. Like, I just like to, I prefer to not give them the satisfaction.
So do women in beer panels help in that regard, or do they bring those issues to the forefront, or what? I always look at things from my perspective as a consumer, as far as what can be done in terms of evolution in the industry.
I mean, what do you think when you go, when you see women in beer panels? Like, how do you feel about them?
Well, I mean, I'm a creature of education. I love to bring
and you
in
know a lot of
information
too,
yeah. And well, I admire you all too. I think you all do a great job. And,
as a consumer, do you ever look at a stack of beer and say, I'm going to buy this one because a dude brewed it, and I'm not going to buy this one because a chick brewed it? Do you as a consumer ever do that?
Absolutely not.
He's in point.
Mic drop if it was able to be dropped.
Don't do that. It's going to cause a ton of feedback. A ton of feedback.
You know, I work really hard to do what I do. Emily does. Jessica does. Like, I don't sell anything with my gender. I will do women in beer panels till I'm blue in the face if it means that I get a couple.
I am a woman in beer. Yeah. I am. It doesn't matter whether I
But I will do it until I'm blue in the face, until, you know, if it gets one or two people that say, hey, like, she looks like me, or she talks like me, or she came from where I came from, I can do this too. And if it means that someone looks at it and is like, I'm going to apply for that job, I did my job.
Very good. Very good. Should we?
You're really feisty. I'm sorry.
Well, and I would hope you would do it until you were blue in the face, even when my tiny little niece out there that can, she's grown up and is doing what she wants to do. And, like, you, it doesn't matter whether. I hope you keep talking about how you're a rad woman in the beer industry.
Well, we've been doing a fun thing lately, just kind of wrapping up shows. I'm talking about what's in everybody's fridge. I want to go around the room and talk about
you can't.
And one caveat: you can't talk about your brand, because I know not everybody drinks their brand. So I want to know what's in your fridge right now. Let's start with you, Jess.
Okay, so my parents were just here. They were taking care of my kids. They stocked my beer fridge with Summit EPA because it's my dad's favorite.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I have a bunch of that, which I love. And then I also have some Fulton Gosa.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Which is really, really good. And what else do I have? Drumroll American Pale Ale. That is like, I just love that stuff for an everyday drinker. You can't go wrong.
What about you, Emily?
Well, I just came off a barbecue at our house, and I have the leftovers of a White Claw variety pack in my fridge.
So everybody I know raves about White Claw.
Oh, you've not gone down the White Claw train?
I have not.
It is amazing, seltzerly, hard alcohol.
I don't know if that's
what's the ABV on that? Do you know?
5.0.
Okay.
LaCroix with booze. Raspberry, but they only get you the raspberry if you buy the variety pack. It's amazing. Yours?
So I drink beer for a living, so unfortunately there is no beer in my house. So I drink rosé out of a box, no judging, and then also White Claw and a lot of whiskey.
Nice. That's awesome.
Nice.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for our shows here out at the Minnesota State Fair. Remember, hit us up on the Facebook page. Just search for Minnesota Beercast. Go to MinnesotaBeercast.com for all our contact information and links. We will be back with a brand new show next week. Thanks to the Frontier Bar for sponsoring these shows from the Minnesota State Fair.
Let's